I'm John Bolger with Premier Guitar, and I'm with Ryan Roxy of the Alice Cooper Band. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Absolutely, man. Great to be here.
Yeah. Hey, so tell me about, I know you're a serious Gibson guy, and you travel with basically every iconic Gibson guitar.
I'm traveling with the Gibson Big Six.
Big Six.
And I think it's the six most iconic designs that Gibson produces. It's obviously the Les Paul is sort of the featured guitar of iconic rock and roll guitar, the SG, the 335, the Flying V and Explorer, plus the Firebird. So as many as can fit into our road cases, I stuff them all in there.
And that's perfect.
Right now, the Gibson Big Six is treating me right.
Yeah, awesome. Why don't you start with, I don't know, with your number one, whatever.
Yeah. Well, this is the one I'm taking out for this Motley Crue tour, and it's been really, really dependable night after night. It's it looks a little beat up because we beat them up here on the road a little bit.
Yeah.
But it is a 2014, you know?
Well, that's great.
That guitar wasn't as beat up as our guitar tank. That's Pat.
Yeah.
He's not a 2014,
yeah,
but
no.
this is a 2014, and it's got the self-tuning guitar system.
How do you like the
it?
Tuner thing? I've been,
it's
I mean,
working for me. You know, it really is. The thing is, it's the perfect guitar if you can only have a limited amount of guitars. Obviously, I have the luxury of bringing out a lot of guitars.
Yeah.
But even that being said, if I have one guitar in my hotel room where I'm learning songs off the internet and actually still practicing, which I do, any of this YouTube stuff or albums that I pick off of has different alternative tunings. This tunes it like in a heartbeat. So
awesome.
It saves a lot of time and I spend more time playing.
Yeah, that's great, man. And is this entirely stock?
Yeah, this is actually a stock piece. And like I said, it's the 2014 one. We'll see what happens next year with them. But like I said, the Les Paul is such a classic recipe for rock and roll.
Yeah.
It's hard to mess this one up.
Oh yeah, I would be angry if I watched a show, like a rock show, and somebody was not playing at least one Les Paul.
Well, that's what I always say, you know, being associated with Gibson as I do. I don't have to ever sell the guitars. I just sell the dream that you can do it.
Just
write one guitar riff with whatever guitar you have, and of course you're gonna have a Gibson in your arsenal.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, so that's the number one.
This is number one
iconic
Les Paul. And then this is sort of related to the Les Paul. In a weird convoluted way, but this is called an ES-335. And this I really like with Alice Cooper, we do a lot of some ballads in the set and a lot of soft to loud. Well, I don't play with a channel switching amp. I play with an old school Marshall one channel. So my channel switching is basically going from the neck pickup, you know, to the bridge pickup. And it sounds great, clean, but it also sounds really full when I have it going, you know, 100%.
Right. That's great. Yeah, getting the tone out of the guitar. Yeah.
And this is, you know, a semi-hollow body, which means it's not, I don't have to deal with feedback the way that hollow bodies deal with.
Yeah.
It's got a solid piece of wood through here, and the two semi-hollow body pieces just help out the tone.
Yeah. Is that completely stock as well?
Yes, it is. This is actually, I'm not sure exactly what year this is. This is a newer one, though. It's either 2013 or 2012. So, it's up there.
Beautiful.
And let's see. Which ones do I like in my arsenal? This is very dependable guitar, and it looks really, I just like the aesthetics of it.
Oh yeah,
this
great.
Is a Gibson Flying V, and it's sort of, the Explorer is its brother, sister, or whatever you want.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's amazing to think that this actual design, you know, was manufactured in the late 50s, 1958.
Right, like a spaceship, man.
And it had, you know, the music that we all sort of associated with is usually heavier music and harder music. That music wasn't even invented when this guitar was.
Yeah, so, totally.
But it's super dependable, and like I said, the thing I like about Gibson's, when I put my hand around a neck, I know it's a Gibson, and there's a very nice consistency. yeah. with the next.
Hey, now, the middle pickup, is that something you added yourself or did that?
No, it came out, but I'll be really, really honest with you. I've yet to utilize it.
Sure.
I just kind of think that maybe, like one of my heroes, Ace Frehley, someday I'll put a smoke bomb in
there. Oh, gotta do the smoke bomb. Gotta do the smoke bomb. Yeah,
but, that's... You know, I get all the tone and all the variants I need from the songs, from the bridge and from the... neck pickup,
but and you've got a like a chicken head.
Yeah,
it's a
five-piece tone.
Oh, cool.
Tone. So it's a five-piece pickup selector. So you can do different combinations of the two. But like I said, for a lot of the songs that we play in the Cooper set, especially this one with Motley Crue, this is my sort of drop D guitar. This is the one that's down and dirty, and I usually end up relying on the bridge pickup.
Awesome. Beautiful, man.
Those are my top three.
Yeah, hard to pick. Yeah.
That's why I play all of them.
Yeah, right.
That's what I say. It's like it's not enough to have just one sort of design on
right.
there. I want to bring them all out and see which one complements what song and which, you know, tones actually work for the song. Because with Alice Cooper, we're not just playing one Alice Cooper era. We're playing like from the late
decades.
60s all the way to 2000s.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, man, let's talk about your amps.
Amps? Oh, that's easy. I mean, like I said, because the old recipe, until someone teaches me a better recipe for rock and roll, it's a Gibson guitar through a Marshall amp. And that's, you know, until someone, like I said, maybe it's out there, but I haven't found it yet. And that's my go-to amp is a JCM 800. And that amp treats me right. Because, like I said, it's not... I know that Marshall makes a bunch of amps that have a lot of different channels, a lot of different opportunities to have different sounds. I want that one sound.
Right, right.
You know, and that's what I go for. I want that most amazing JCM 800 Marshall sound, and that's what I get out of my amp.
Yeah.
And so I don't need the four different other channels, you know. The thing that I use is, if I want to go clean, I just turn the volume of my guitar down. So Marshall JCM 800.
Yep. So what kind of cabinets are you using?
The cabinets that I run with the JCM 800 are standard Marshall 412 cabinets. I think the speakers in mine are the 25-watt greenbacks.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. You see this big rock show and you feel it's a wall of sound. And so a lot of times you see amps and stacks and stacks and stacks. Well, the truth of the matter is, I get all that sound out of one cabinet.
Yeah.
I mean, our sound guy is amazing, James, and he pumps the hell out of it.
Right.
You know, but we have three guitar players, so there's a delicate balance between getting all those sounds on stage and not overpowering the stage volume.
Yeah.
So our stage volume is relatively low. We're all on in-ears, so one 412 cabinet does enough damage for me on stage,
right.
And then they just pump it all through. You know, obviously, like all of us, you know, growing up, we want to see the row of Marshall stacks and just playing that A chord. And the only time that ever happened to me is when I went on stage with Angus Young's guitar rig. His guitar tech, Adam Day, at the time.
How cool.
He brought me up and he let me play an A chord through that. And that the thing was, all eight of those stacks were working.
Wow,
so
nice.
It literally blew me off the stage.
That's great, man.
I don't need that night after night.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, yes.
Yeah.
But the night after night, consistently working, my in-ears getting a good stage volume so Alice can hear himself above the band but still feel the band.
Sure.
I think it's important to have that, a good relationship with the band and your sound man.
Right.
Because,
absolutely.
Because our sound man's really responsible for the, you know, getting that tone, that Marshall tone and Gibson tone out to the crowd.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, because you kind of craft this sonic space, you know, to fit with the other guitar players, and then it's all up to him to...
Well, I know we're going to talk about effects, and the thing is, one of my things that I say in my guitar clinics is that the idea is to always play big enough places so that you don't need effects. Like, why would you need a reverb pedal if you're playing a big enough arena that has natural reverb or even a delay? But at the same time, I still do use some key effects because with Alice Cooper, there's a lot of piano parts, string parts that we're doubling that we're manufacturing with the three guitar player lineup.
Wow, what a cool interpretation of those songs to do it like that.
Well,
that's
it's definitely, this is an era of Alice where he's never had three guitar players before. So we took it to the point where, like, let's really take it seriously because we have that luxury of having that extra guitar.
Yeah.
And let's really do a lot of those key string parts, piano parts, harmonies that we wouldn't be able to pull off live with just two guitars.
Right.
So I think we really utilize it. So when you see us play live, you know, and Nita's on an A chord here, Tommy's on an A chord here, maybe I'm on an A chord here. So it's never, you know, a lot of times never the same place at the same time.
Right.
We're always making a wall of sound.
Yeah. That's all. Now, speaking of effects,
yeah. You want Warren to come in and
bring
our fashion model, Warren? No, Warren T's one of the best techs out there, and we've designed one of the best, one of the most functional working pedal boards.
Oh, cool. Why don't you take me through, okay, so are you using a wireless unit?
Yes, I am. I'm using Shure wirelesses. You know, when I do club gigs, I use some Line 6 wirelesses as well. But the Shure wireless system is really dependable night after night. We've had no problems with them. The board itself is actually put together by a company out of Sweden called SOS.
Oh, okay.
So he was the one that did all the wiring, made it look so clean.
It is clean.
Yeah, this is, you have to understand, this is a pedal board that night after night gets blood splattered on it, gets bubbles on it, gets, you know, whatever can happen at a rock show, and at an Alice Cooper rock show, it is even more. So Warren keeps this thing running really tight and very low noise.
Great.
My go-to pedals pretty much are TC Electronics, as you can see. Those are all these five in a row.
And if you don't mind, just kind of show us the signal flow, like where do you start?
Obviously start with the tuner. Everyone always asks me, what's your favorite effect? And I always say, it's my tuner.
Right.
Because I always play a lot of wrong notes, but they're always in tune. So I'm going here from right from my tuner. Then I have my, this is, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is rock and roll sound effects. Those are not piped in.
Yeah.
This is my sort of effect echo, long effects, long delay effects that we use. And I usually have this set at a very long length, okay? And this is a go-to automatic wah, horsey wah, Steve Vai wah.
Yeah.
And then from there, I go over to my TC Electronics. This is my chorus unit, use it for coloring. Not so much, more flanging for certain songs and chorusing for others. This is called a shaker, which I always get confused if it's a vibrato or a tremolo. This is the vibrato.
Cool.
Okay. Then I go over to my spark plug, which would be my TC Electronic spark plug, which is like a lead boost. So whenever I want just a little bit more gain to that, and then onto my two flashback delays, both set at different delays. So I have like a slapback and more of a, you know, somewhere around 380. They do these cool things over at TC called tone prints.
Yes.
And I did some tone prints.
Oh, so cool. So you're one of the authors of...
Yeah, I did a tone print for the flashback delay, and I did one for the shaker. So you can go online and check those out as well.
Awesome.
And then, you know, to me, to this day, I haven't heard a better tremolo than that old, good old Jim Dunlop.
Right, those are awesome.
And then it's all powered by this DC Glocks. This is a company out of Denmark. And they just do incredible low noise power supplies. And
wow, it looks Danish. It looks very clean. You know,
well, it's Swedish, Danish. We can say it's Scandinavian.
Yeah,
you know,
very
like
cool.
I said, the company that put it all together was SOS, and did a good job.
Matt, I'm amazed. You don't have there's no dirt pedals. It's all your amp.
No,
all the overdrive.
I mean, the only thing that provides me a little bit more gain is this spark plug, and it's just enough.
Yeah.
But you know, that true Marshall sound is just basically cranking up, you know, my JCM 800.
Right. Oh, that's awesome.
And playing it through a guitar that really delivers the response and sound that I want.
Yeah, that's great, man. Clean business.
Don't steal it now.
Yeah. Right. Well, man, thanks so much. Oh, there you go, Warren. Thank you. Have a great tour.
Thank you so much for being part of our world.
Oh,
you know?
Man, it was awesome.
You guys should be part of our world, too.
Well, let's talk to some of your bandmates.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we're with Tommy Henriksen of the Alice Cooper Band. Tommy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, my pleasure, man.
Very cool.
Okay, tell me about this very sexy SG, or Les Paul.
I got a bunch of, actually these SG Les Paul Customs.
Yeah.
I actually play them more, it's like more to honor Glenn Buxton because he played them, you know, back in the day.
You're right.
And I wanted to keep that going with the Alice Cooper legacy. And this is my main one. This is a 92 or 93 that I actually bought on eBay.
Really?
And I have this guy named Mike Palermo in Toronto at Mike's Music. I give him to him, and then he does them up like this for me, and he takes the finish off, and he redoes it, and he shoots it with some other stuff, and he makes it sound so great, and he does such wonderful work, and he builds great guitars out there, Mike, and him and Ant, it's just great. He does great work.
It looks killer,
man. It's like between this one and this one and the colors I have, you'll never see these colors. Like,
oh, that's great.
This is a really rare one right here. It's like a Ferrari red, and it's like another one of those. It's a showcase edition one. This is like an 88, I think.
Wow.
And they only made, I think, like maybe like five of these guitars, actually.
And these are both the Les Paul SG before the SG.
Exactly, yeah. And because I like three pickups because I like to be just a little bit more louder. No,
right. Now, speaking of those three pickups, are those stock Gibson pickups or what?
No. Actually, I'm using DiMarzio's in these. I'm using Tone Zones.
Oh, yeah, I love those, yeah.
The only reason why I use them is because a good friend of mine, John Levin from Dokken, he's so anal about his sound and tone. I always say, John, what's the best pickup that I should get for my guitar? And he goes, get a DiMarzio Tone Zone. It's got some great low mid, and it really sounds good with Ryan and Nita's guitar, so it complements it really well.
That's cool, because the three of you really have to find your like sonic space to cut through. Yeah.
It's really tough when you have three guitar players because you don't want to be playing the same parts.
Right.
And especially with the tones, you don't want it to be, you don't want to have three guitars that are so distorted, then you're not going to hear any notes or any clarity. So that's one thing we work on.
And really those old Alice Cooper records, they're not that overdriven.
No.
I mean, it's like, those are just classic straight ahead
tones. Steve Hunter, you know, like, another great, amazing guitar
player.
Him and Dick Wagner, you know what I mean? And Michael Bruce, all of those guys, you know, that came before us that actually, if it wasn't for those guys and Alice, none of us would be here actually working and playing.
Yep.
But Steve would play through Fender Twins and stuff like that with, I think he had like an old Les Paul Jr. back then, he was telling me. Yeah.
That would be so loud to get.
Yeah,
to get
no, really loud.
So loud.
Yeah. And
well, that's great.
That's what he was telling me.
So Tone Zone, are you, and what you're switching in, like how's it work on this?
You know what, I don't switch anything.
You're on that one the whole time?
I'm just on this one the whole time, and it's all, I'm old school.
Yeah.
I do this, I don't do this, you know what I mean? I don't use noise gates. See, I'm like, you know.
You're a caveman.
I'm old school when it comes to that. It's like, I don't want, like, you know, I just want to plug in. And I don't go through the effects loop. I just go way, you know, I've always done it since I was a kid. I'm not interested in playing any fucking thing that sounds like a computer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To me, it's like Alice Cooper is rock, classic rock music.
Yeah.
And that's the way I want to hear it. And that's the way people have to hear it.
Yeah.
Because I want to honor the legacy of what those guys have done and Alice has done. And that's all I want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, let's see your third one.
Oh, my third one. This is a great one right here. This is it's the anniversary edition.
Oh, how cool.
And as you can see, it's signed by my good friend Johnny Depp back there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was signed to my son, Finn, because he's actually Finn's uncle.
So
it's Uncle
that's
Johnny.
Good.
And I play with Johnny, you know what I mean, when we don't play
with Alice. It's going to be a fun gig.
You kidding me? He's the best guy in the world.
Yeah, that's
and,
great.
And very generous, great human being.
You know what
I mean? Yeah. So.
Well, that is a cool other gig to have.
Yeah.
Why not?
When we do it, you know what I mean? So it's cool.
So what year is this one?
This one's a 94. Oh, 91.
91.
Yes, okay. 91.
Yeah, beautiful, man.
I love this guitar, too.
And same thing, Tone Zone.
Yeah, everything's set up the same. My guy Brian sets everything up. Brian Satir, he's very anal about his corner of the stage.
Yeah.
It's very clean. It's like clean lines, clean tape.
Love that.
Yes, no, it's great.
And keep it clean, yeah.
You know, like every night it's the same, you know what I mean? And I got to tell you, he does a wonderful job between me and Nita, because it's a lot when you got it. There's a lot of guitar changes, a lot of set changes.
Yeah.
And he's just amazing, you know?
Yeah, that's great. Now let's talk about amps. You were saying you're a like no-nonsense, straight head.
Most of the times what I'm using is this Black Star, it's this HT metal amp that they just came out with. And I got to tell you, that amp sounds great.
Those are really loud amps. Yes. They're the really loud.
The thing that scared me was the word metal. You know what I mean?
Right.
But after fooling around with it, because he's not, it's like really easy to use. And there's a couple channel switches on there, which I don't use. And I'm pretty much going between this amp and the 900.
Yeah.
And
So you're just playing one amp at a time, but one is a backup.
Yes,
the 900 is a backup if the Black Star has a problem.
Yes, exactly.
Cool. So you start, and you're using a Shure Wireless?
Yep, using a Shure Wireless. And this is my pedal board right here. You got to see this. This is pretty clean, too.
Can you pick it up. Let me get over here where cameraman Perry Bean can get a good look at this thing.
Yeah.
Surprisingly heavy.
Yes, well, it's an LA Sound Design. Dave from LA Sound Design, he actually, you know, charged me way too much, but it's okay.
As they do.
He does great work.
Yeah. It's in LA, of course it's too much.
I'm kidding, Dave. Whenever we do like Only Women Bleed, that's why I have the volume pedal, because I do like the string things with my guitar and the volume that. And this tone, the King of Tone thing, I use for when I actually do, I only have like three guitar solos. Most of the time I'm the utility guy, but when I do actually have a guitar solo, I hit this thing so I can get a little sustain out of it.
Yeah, you got to make sure that when you do hit your solo, you want to make sure they hear you.
Well, between two other guitar plays, I don't know if they're going to hear me, because James, our sound man, half the times, I don't know if he's even got me turned up. You know, he's probably sitting there checking out some chick or something like that. You know what I mean? It's like, James, over here, guy. But it's a lot, though. But most of the times, I'll tell you, I use the Zakk Wylde phase. I use this a lot.
Yeah.
I use this on like 18.
Dwight
Frye, a couple other ones. I Love the Dead. I use the chorus on just a couple songs. You know what I mean? And this Strymon, I use a lot. You know what I mean? Like on some of the other songs for the delay stuff. I use this Dynaverb thing a lot too, actually. This thing, I don't even use it. I just liked it because the Edge had it.
Right. What is that? The Boss FET amplifier FA1?
FA1. You can't find those. They're really hard to find. They're really rare, those pedals. And I've had that for about 20 years.
What's it do? Is it like an EQ?
It's like a little bit of a booster thing.
Oh, cool.
And this is just, that's
the on-off one?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
And pairing it all with the...
Whatever Dave does. I don't know how this is wired. Yeah. I'm no good at that stuff.
Right.
I just tell Brian, just make sure it works.
You guys plug it in.
I don't care what you gotta do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Cool. And you've even got a light.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Because I can't see.
Yeah.
As you can see, I'm blind.
Yeah. Perfect, man. Well, that's nothing to it.
Yeah.
Easy. Well, man, congratulations. Have a great tour. Yeah. Thanks a million.
No, thank you very much. And, you know, it's been a great tour, and touring Motley Crue has been awesome.
That's got to be fun,
you
man.
Know, Mick Mars, I got to tell you, man, one of the most underrated guitar players ever.
Oh, great guitar player.
Like, his solos, his tone, and let me tell you something, he's the nicest fucking guy in the world.
That's great.
Dude, thank you.
Yeah, pleasure, man.
Right on. Kids, later.
Okay, we're now with Nita Strauss of the Alice Cooper Band. And more?
and now only strictly this. Finally, I found a home.
I found
somebody that just wants me to play guitar for them all the time.
That's awesome. Before that, though, you were like working all the time. You were like the go-to LA rocker girl.
And so thankful. So thankful for all those experiences with Iron Maidens, Femme Fatale, Critical Hit, all the LA Kiss football team. All of those things brought me to this moment, standing here with you guys in Nashville, showing you some stuff about these beautiful guitars.
Let's hear about that beautiful guitar.
This one is my baby, actually. This is my Ibanez RGT 320Z. Alex from the Ibanez Custom Shop completely redid this for me. I don't know if you can zoom in on the neck. It's kind of hard to see, but all the finish that was on the back, you can see where it was there and there. All the finish is gone. I hate having any finish on the back of the neck. I like to just feel the guitar and feel the wood. It just makes more sense to me. Don't. That's what she said. I know. I just like to feel the wood.
My
guitar tech Brian Satie is over there going, Nita.
Yeah. We all thought it. She said it.
I'll say it.
Okay. You know, good.
So, but in all honesty, any guitar player knows, or you know, I guess there's a few different opinions on the subject. But I personally don't like any finish on the back of the guitar neck.
Right. That's why old guitars are so popular.
Yeah,
they just feel like that.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to feel any paint or varnish or anything or gloss. I just want to feel the instrument, and you know, so I love that about it. The neck's also been planed down to the original Super Wizard profile. I actually had them model it after one of my guitars, which has a 1991 Super Wizard neck.
Oh, so it's like,
so it's really
crazy thin.
Really flat.
Thin and
flat.
Yeah, wider than I thought.
Makes you want to play fast, this guitar. Just like, it's a speed machine.
Cool.
And the last modification too, it's got the Edge Zero bridge, which is stock. And it has DiMarzio, this is a deactivator in the bridge, and an Evolution in the neck. I tend to keep an Evolution in the neck on most of my guitars because it's so present. You know, this just gives you, like, it just gives you such a loud voice. I love the Evolution neck pickup, so I tend to stick with that. And the deactivator is great because it really cuts a lot of the hiss. It's kind of like an EMG 81 in that way, where it cuts a lot of the bullshit. Can I say that?
Sure.
Okay.
It's your rundown.
It cuts through the crap. It's really clear. It's got a lot of clarity. And also, it takes away some of the noise, like that little noise suppressor in it. So it's great. So that's
but
this
these are,
one.
But these are passive, though.
All my guitars have passive pickups. Yeah,
awesome.
I do not. There's no way I'll remember to unplug this all the time. So.
Right.
And another cool feature on these, I don't know if you'll be able to see it during this, but Ibanez has installed something really cool called Lumen Lays on the side here. And these charge up with an LED flashlight.
Oh, how
or you
cool.
can even charge it up with your phone. Well, I always have my phone. It's so weird. But you charge it up here. Brian does it before I go on stage. And Alice Cooper has a really dramatic show. It's really dark. And so this is a lifesaver because I got to go on a pitch black stage and sometimes come right in on the right note. So this is a lifesaver. You charge it up. And these have a little green light, which tell me exactly where I'm at.
What a great idea.
So that's a great thing. Ibanez did that.
You know, on the, just before
that's
we put
awesome.
That,
yeah.
the, your baby away, this,
yeah.
so this is not a Floyd Rose or a Kaler. It's
this
a,
is an Ibanez tremolo, yeah.
It's oh, so it's a proprietary.
Have you ever seen anybody do this with a Floyd Rose?
No. Oh, no. Look at that.
Ta-da! Well, Brian. That's, it does happen every
I've never
well.
Seen anybody do that.
Cut that.
Floyd Rose.
But here, no, let me see it again. Yeah, but.
But it worked perfectly. I get the idea.
It does work, and I don't normally hold it up for that long either.
Yeah.
But
you can give it a good.
Yeah, well, yeah. I hold it up at the end of the guitar solo and, like, do a little thing. It looks
sure.
like it's floating, it's cool, and yeah.
That's great. Okay, so that's number, is that your current favorite?
This has been my favorite since the moment I got it.
Really?
This was my first guitar that went through the Ibanez Custom Shop treatment, the famous LA Custom Shop. And,
yeah.
You can really tell like the love and care they put into it. It's neck through body, neck through mahogany body.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
The Bubinga stripe, which is my favorite kind of wood. It's my favorite word to say, Bubinga.
Yeah, sure.
So it's great, sounds great, plays great, and it's a beautiful, beautiful guitar.
Awesome.
And then the main guitar I'm using on this tour is an S5470, and I believe this is a limited edition finish they did, and I think it's called Demon Shadow or Dark Shadow. It's
perfect.
Cool.
Perfect.
It's a cool, cool guitar. This is a ZR tremolo. You can do the same thing. Kind of just float it like that.
Awesome.
I'm just do a little tug. It's really, really fun to play. It's got the Lumen Lays again. And these ones, this is the only one that doesn't have an Evolution in the neck. It's got a pair of Gravity Storm pickups, DiMarzio Gravity Storms. And these ones have a little bit more of a classic sound. A deactivator is a little more modern. The Gravity Storms just have a little more warmth to them, I find. And then all the middle pickups in every single one of my guitars, I use a DiMarzio True Velvet because I just love that. I love that single coil middle pickup. I can't get enough of it, and it's my favorite. And this one I love. I play this one for the majority of the set because it's so light.
Yeah, it's like crazy thin.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like nothing to it.
Yeah, it's skinny.
Well, so it's, yeah.
Tiny, feel how light.
I feel like I'm.
Yeah, I just want to take,
yeah,
around.
Take this off and it's
yeah.
like, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't, yeah, especially, you know, our set is an hour and 50 minutes long when we do the headline shows. So, you know, these heavy guitars, I actually used to play Gibsons years ago and my neck would hurt after shows. My neck never hurts after these shows. And then this is a really fun one. This
oh, that's
has,
good.
Yeah, this is the guitar I play for the song Feed My Frankenstein. and underneath it's actually a basswood body. It's got white binding on it, but it's got a custom finish on it made by a guy named Robert Emery at Rockstar Trends, so check him out. I told Robert that I wanted to have a guitar that I said I want to look like it was once a white guitar, but it's been like attacked by like a bear or a zombie or something, and then where the guitar is ripped open, I want to see a heart, a beating heart inside the guitar. So he took this idea of mine and totally ran with it.
Very creepy idea.
Yeah, well, a very cool, like
very
creepy
cool.
idea.
But very
so,
cool,
like, I was just
idea.
Thinking because it's a, you know, I really feel that my guitars are an extension of me, an extension of my personality. And sometimes, you know, any guitar player knows. Sometimes your guitar has a life of its own. Yeah. You look at it and go, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, right.
So he took that idea of mine and ran with it and totally actually came up with something totally different than I had imagined. Actually, put the hand in and really stylized
it. It's awesome.
Yeah, and it's cool. And that's the great thing about collaborating with other people, whether it's on a graphic or on a song. You always come up with something different than you would have done yourself.
Yeah.
You know, if I would have done this alone, it would have been totally different. And the fact that he took the idea,
I think it's on the bottom.
And it's got my nickname, Hurricane.
Oh, that's awesome.
On it.
Yeah, great.
Which was a great touch. And here is a cool thing. I don't think anyone's ever actually showed this. He put a little Easter egg in here. So you've got the Ibanez logo scratched through, and you can see under it says Hurricane on the headstock also.
Too
so that's
cool.
Yeah, I love that. And this is a DiMarzio Super 3 in the bridge and an Evolution in the neck.
That's great. So that's got to be, as I was saying with the other guys, it's got to be kind of a challenge to find your sonic space with two other guitar players.
You know, honestly, you would think it was, but, you know, I came into this organization replacing somebody, and they had everything really dialed in. The guys had their sounds, and my sound really just worked from the get-go.
Yeah,
and you can get a little of this one. No, the sound, like, sonically, it really worked out because the guys have a lot more of a classic sound with the Gibsons and the Marshalls, and my sound has always been a little bit more modern than that anyway, and I did make an effort to kind of diversify myself for this gig. But, you know, a lot of people know Alice Cooper for the song Poison, and, you know, for Feed My Frankenstein, the 80s stuff, the Satriani and the Vi solos and stuff. So I think it's important to bring all the different aspects of the Alice Cooper catalog to the table. So I'm pretty happy with the way it's turned out.
Yeah. You know, you were talking about your pedal board amp situation.
Oh yeah, this is funny.
Let's hear this.
You were talking about clean pedal boards. You saw Ryan and Tommy's pedal board. You want to see the cleanest pedal board on the tour?
You want me to grab that? You got it? Oh.
There you go. The cleanest pedal board on the entire tour.
Essentially two pedals.
Oh, wait, hold on. We lost. Oh, okay. We lost this.
Okay. All this.
Essentially two pedals, but really, when you look at this, well, nothing's plugged in right now. When you look at this, this actually isn't connected to anything at all. This is a Rocktron Utopia Expression pedal. I think, right? Is that still on there? Or is that?
Oh, so
that's No, never mind. That's not what that is. This actually, what I'm getting at here is I'm not using this for anything on this tour. I was going to run a lot of audio signal, and I was going to lose a lot of clarity.
Yeah.
So we decided not to use any of this at all, and I could just get away with having that by itself if I need to. This is a MIDI switcher. It's a Rocktron All Access. I've had it since 2009, I think. It's a total workhorse. I never need it for anything else. And never need anything else. And it's great. You know, all my effects are MIDI controllable, so it really is just the easiest thing in the world.
That's
mute,
great.
Clean, rhythm with some effects, and shred, of course. Two ADSR walk channels and a 12-string. That's all I use on this tour.
Wow.
Simple, effective, safe.
Yeah, there's really nothing to go wrong. And then, so you go a guitar wireless into your amp, and then, or into...
Yeah, let's move over here.
Okay.
So I'm using all the effects are coming from the Rocktron Prophecy 2, which is actually a preamp, but I'm not using the preamp section of it. I'm using the preamp section of the Blackstar Series 1 EL34s, which I was using Bogner before, I was using PV before, and this really gave me a lot of different options. There's a very classic high gain tone, there's very modern punchy leads, and it's MIDI switchable, which I was going to go with a matching HT metal to Tommy's, because unlike Mr. Henriksen, I love the word metal. but I went with this one because it's MIDI switchable. The HT metal is not MIDI switchable. So this guy is.
Oh, that's great. So you're doing channel switching through.
Channel switching and effects
are
all coming.
That's great.
Everything's all in one stop shop.
Perfect.
Super easy. And then the Shure UR 4D wireless is just great for these big arenas and stuff. You know, there's, I was using a Line 6 relay before and I was really happy with it, but once you get all the stuff going on, you get all the, you know, the wiring and everything in here, it's hell.
Yeah, with other acts too.
And, yeah, with all the guitars going on, all everybody's channels, everybody's walkie-talkies and stuff.
Right.
It's just, it's crazy. So the Shure has been absolutely amazing, and it really, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be such a fun game. It's like amazing music. It's got to be like Halloween every night.
Oh, my gosh.
Great. Yeah.
It's
great,
so guys. Much fun. Great, yeah. Guys. Alice is really a true legend. I'm very, very honored to be the latest one in a line of great guitar players playing for him. It's just like, I don't even,
yeah, how cool
I can't
is that?
Believe that I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, look at, he gets electrocuted right there. Every night I get to watch it from this close. Like, it really is, you know, as a young guitar player, practicing, working hard, you know, everybody dreams of someday getting a chance to come and play on a tour like this. So I'm just really thankful and really thrilled to be
here.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Thank
Way
you very
to
much.
Earn it. Yeah,
thank
that's
you
great.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
thank
this
you,
John. Is John Bollinger. Peace out. It was great.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.